welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. July 17, 2019. Thank you for joining me today. It's going to be a little bit of a shorter show focused on just a few topics, four in fact, largely around the Iran, so the tanker that so apparently disappeared but really didn't. More information on Israel in regard to this story as well, and as well as in regard to Venezuela and how that the latest development in what I would call the obviously failed coup the United States tried to carry out, but still seemingly dumping money, apparently $40 million, from humanitarian aid into the same failed Guaido group. Now, it's a shorter show specifically because I'm going to be jumping over with B. Rich onto his channel for our regular Wednesday show, semi-regular Wednesday, Thursday show, After Hours Live. So this is going to be a condensed show, and we're going to follow up at 6:30 Mountain Time on his channel, and I'll share a link after this is done in the show notes so you can hop over and we can keep talking about everything else. I'm trying to make this kind of a regular Wednesday thing just to help people continue over there to keep the conversation moving. Much more informal conversation about all kinds of things. But since you're here for the Daily Wrap-Up, let's get into the news today. And the first story, which I find... this story actually made me laugh, and I have to admit, because you know what, I'm actually, this is one that I was on the money about as far as I can tell so far, which is not that crazy because, again, I'm not psychic, I just know how these people conduct themselves, and this one was especially flagrant. Now, Now, this is a story from today, in fact. U.S. investigates disappearance of UAE tanker in Strait of Hormuz. So good. So the U.S. is today, this morning, investigating the disappearance of this tanker. The Associated Press reported that the United States is investigating the fate of the small UAE oil tanker, which is actually not a UAE oil tanker, it operates out of the area, that they say went missing 2 days ago while crossing the Strait of Hormuz. However, Iran's ISNA news agency yesterday reported the foreign ministry spokesman Abbas Mousavi as saying that the small oil tanker had technical difficulties and was towed into Iranian waters for repair. Of course, this happened yesterday, but see, today the U.S. is investigating what seemingly we already know exactly what happened. And here is the story from the anti-media entitled, Missing Oil Tanker Was Towed to Iran for Repairs. Now, media reports were, of course, quick to speculate on the fate of the Riyah, the small Panamanian-flagged oil tanker that so-called disappeared over the weekend in the Persian Gulf, which the whole story is surrounded we should be skeptical about this story from every angle right now, including how Iran may in fact be manipulating this entire story. There's something off about this entire thing, and clearly it seems that everyone's trying to use it to their benefit, and even Iran for that matter. But there's something about this whole story that seems off, the way that 2 days went by, no one seemed to dig in, it was being used, obviously. And of course, this all stemmed from CNN's fabulous Barbara Starr and her willingness to just blindly report what the U.S. government handed to her. That the U.S. apparently increasingly believed that the ship was captured by Iran. No real question of that, just putting it out in the world and then following up with it. Everybody else basically said that's not what happened, but the U.S. increasingly believes, which was the headline. This is why people like Barbara are very, very dangerous, even if they do not realize that they're being used by a malicious, surreptitious government, feeding them the very information that they want them to then regurgitate to the rest of the people, adding in their minds a layer of legitimacy because it came from Barbara Starr at CNN. Apparently, if they do think that, this is the government really not hip to the opinions people have today of the mainstream media. But the Jerusalem Post reported on the U.S. claims. Despite all this information already being out at the time, mind you, mostly based on anonymous sources, says, quote, U.S. officials believe that the Panama-flagged tanker was seized by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard on Saturday night when it was crossing the Strait of Hormuz in international waters. Information from the U.S. intelligence agency indicated that the Revolutionary Guard troops forced the tanker to enter Iranian territorial waters before withdrawing the vessel to Iran's Kisham Island. Forced it, which same thing we reported yesterday. That this was what they claimed, that Iran, that not only was it not just some little issue, but they literally drove and forced the ship into those waters. And it goes on to say some U.S. intelligence officials believe that the seizure of the tanker comes as a response to Panama's declaration that it will withdraw its flags on ships that violate U.S. sanctions against Iran, which is interesting. I mean, the way that this is all playing out. Now, why the private tanker would have been captured in the first place is unclear. That, of course, unless you're blindly taking at face value the U.S. narrative, right? But it clearly was not the case that the U.S. is laying out. I mean, this is quite obvious at this point. As Iran's foreign ministry issued a statement confirming that it had been technical problems in the Strait of Hormuz and was towed to Iran for repairs. Now, just because Iran said that, it always does not make it the case. But there's basically everybody else in this story is backing up the alternative to the United States story. Sorry, I'm having some issues with my camera here, so I'm just keeping this page up. You can tell that I'm lagging here. Not really exactly sure why, as you can tell. It just is completely out of focus. That's my fault, I guess. But let's keep moving forward. Now, it's obvious how this played out, that the United States is trying to take advantage, in my opinion, of something that seems to not have taken place at all, which, again, is our classic non-event propaganda that we've continued to You, I really want people to start using this phrase because it's obvious this is what's happening. It's quite obvious to me that this is their attempt to use just about anything they can to progress this agenda, including fake events that are absolutely, that didn't take place at all, even manufactured themselves. And this is exactly what we're seeing over and over and over. Now, the ship operates out of the UAE, the United Arab Emirates, but is actually neither owned nor operated by the UAE itself, which I found interesting. Now, officials said that the tanker never even signaled for help. And at some point, its transponder was just simply turned off. Intentionally. And of course, this should have tipped officials off that this was not some bold capture, as the Strait of Hormuz is one of the world's most heavily traveled waterways, and there simply would have been no way an oil tanker could have, you know, been boarded and seized without getting off any emergency signal. And of course, you understand this is the United States government, their military, they are aware of this and simply just chose to put out the fake information anyway. But you see, this logic only applies to those honestly trying to inform you, you see. The reality is that the entire intention of the U.S. government here was to manipulate perception of Iran using a non-event propaganda. Now, again, this is regardless of how this event started, where it's very clear that the U.S. took this and ran with it. That even if you want to tell yourself that they were not trying to deceive the American people, which is certainly a possibility, if you're out there completely convinced right now that they were simply just doing what they thought was right, the truth is that this level of uncertainty around this situation simply seems impossible to me. As the ship apparently was able to signal for a request for help to Iran. I mean, it's a surprise that this call for help is, and the subsequent towing would have gone completely unnoticed in the high traffic area. Or the UAE or Iran would not have immediately said something, would have immediately put it out there. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons this doesn't add up. The UAE or Iran would have immediately said, yeah, something's going on here. They would have put out an emergency call. Everybody around would have seen this taking place. None of that happened. And yet, so again, like just like I said yesterday, this is basically, oh, something looks like it's happening. Let's just go ahead and blame Iran by default. Now, either way, what we do that the Trump administration, what we see here is that they just flew over the top. Fear-mongered, lied. Based on what was either fake intelligence that they were fed, and that they, of course, failed to vet, or didn't care to, or a story created from whole cloth, fabricated, made up. Either way, you should ask yourself why you would ever blindly trust a U.S. official today, the president or otherwise, or any government for that matter. It's our duty, actually, as Americans, to question the actions of our government, the president included, which is something on a side note that I think is important for us to remember. As Theodore Roosevelt said, to announce that there must be no criticism of the president, or that we are to stand by the president, right or wrong, is not only unpatriotic and servile, but is morally treasonable to the American public. Damn it, it's amazing how much has changed in this country since the original founding fathers to where we are today. Now it's unpatriotic and servile to even question whether or not your president is making the right decision. This is where we are today. And this is a product of aggressive social engineering. Now, I just reported on Israel suing the European Union for choosing to honor its obligation under the JCPOA, claiming that Israel has a right to any assets within the INSTEX mechanism because a U.S. court said so. Which is no joke, by the way. They're claiming a U.S. court decision is going to dictate assets that are, I would argue, illegally taken from a deal between the European Union and Iran. And somehow a U.S. court has a jurisdiction, has authority over that, and then also just give it to Israel because we said so. Well, now Israel is claiming it has a right to sell the illegally seized tanker and keep the revenue as they're discussing selling the tanker that they have illegally seized. Because, of course, Hamas does bad things, and we all know that Hamas is Israel, right? Excuse me, or is Iran, right? This is what they want you to think. And because they're claiming Hamas is involved in this next story, well, then that must mean that it all has to go to Israel, right? Because Hamas is bad and they do bad things, and then Iran is Hamas, and so there you go. Don't ask for information or any research, just take them at face value. Now, this infamous Israeli legal advocacy group has demanded that Gibraltar sell the recently seized Iranian oil tanker in order to compensate an Israeli family whose daughter was killed in a 2014 attack, reportedly carried out by Hamas. This is what they claim. And it's worth noting that this is Israel's story of the events. But even so, again, Hamas is simply not Iran. Now, regardless of what they tried to continue to say, there's no evidence to suggest that. And as I just showed in the show yesterday, even U.S. documentation itself shows very clearly that they're aware that Hamas is not Iran, as well as with the Houthis. We just talked about that as well. They make these connections, and their own information shows that they know that connection is not actually there. Now, Shurat Hadin, the outlet yesterday, or excuse me, the group yesterday, filed a petition to the Supreme Court in Gibraltar to demand that the territory sell the Iranian oil tanker that it impounded illegally the month before. Which is just, I mean, truly shocking to see that they're willing to take such an extreme step when this is currently aggressively disputed. Now, the tanker, known as Grace One, was seized by the UK's Royal Marines on the 4th of July. On suspicion, mind you, still suspicion of delivering oil to Syria in violation of European Union sanctions. You know, that's had it actually gone to Syria, mind you, since they stopped them from going. Yeah, they actually didn't commit a crime, even within these sanctions, which I argue are not legitimate anyway. Now, Shurat Hadin is trying to use the tanker's alleged Iran-Syria connection to claim compensation for an Israeli family whose three-month-old daughter was killed in an apparent hit-and-run in Jerusalem, which is very, very sad. But a hit-and-run of a random civilian, and yet it was blamed on Hamas, the political group of Hamas, because they claim the driver's uncle, who's dead, was once Hamas. Well, that seems just as logical as saying that Hamas is Iran, right? We don't need to actually show a connection. Let's just show some flimsy, long, you know, I mean, Is it possible this guy's Hamas? Of course it is. He says he's not, but then we have the fact that your uncle who's dead was possibly Hamas, Iran, Israel says so, does not by default make you that, but of course the Israeli media ran with it. It was a Hamas hit on some random civilian that made no sense politically, but yeah, let's run with it. Now in 2017, Shurat Hadin filed a petition in Washington, D.C. District Court seeking damages from Iran and Syria for the girl's death, which is, think about this, we're talking about an Israeli family in Jerusalem, and yet this is happening in a Washington, D.C. district court, seeking damages from Iran and Syria for the girl's death. How does that even line up? Well, let's just throw in Syria for good measure. The court documents claimed her death was, quote, allegedly perpetrated by Hamas with material support for the defendants, Iran and Syria. These are the entire countries. They're just saying, oh, that one girl that got killed by that one guy in that car that we say is Hamas was working with the governments of Iran and Syria. I mean, how ridiculous does this have to get? This prompts the court to rule they are, quote, jointly and severely liable for the death, and injuries to the family members and plaintiffs. The family was actually granted $178.5 million in compensation, which will never happen, because now I'm sure Iran and Syria, the countries, are going to stand up and say, sure, we're abide by your U.S. court ruling for Israelis and say, here's money that we don't owe you. This is ridiculous at face value, but still, it's setting a precedent. That we're just charging entire countries for crimes that are obviously not connected to their governments or the people they're in. And again, this happened in a U.S. court. Now, the Gibraltar Supreme Court must now actually decide if and when to hear this petition from this same group that filed this same petition we just went over in D.C. They're filing the petition now about this. They want them to sell this tanker and give the money to Israel. Because that seems like that's logical, right? That seems fair. And if this goes forward, of course, it could set a precedent, which would allow for the seizure of other Iranian assets, even if they cannot prove a clear Iran connection. You think maybe this has something to do with why this is going forward? Certainly makes sense. We could literally now see U.S. courts, Israeli courts, ruling under their false authority that they can just take anything that they say is connected to Iran. Think about that. Hamas, the Houthis, anybody they say the Hezbollah, any of them, which all of which are not actually clearly shown to be connected to Iran, and they can just start seizing assets. Sure, maybe Israel's just going to take over Lebanon like they've been trying to do because, well, they're Iran, right? We know that they're Iran, Hezbollah, they're Iran, so it's all Iran. Let's just start blurring the lines between anything they say is Iran and what they want to take and accomplish. Now, over the past year alone, Sharat Hadin has also, you won't be surprised to know, been responsible for pushing holiday rental giant Airbnb to renege on its decision to delist properties located in illegal Israeli settlements in the occupied West Bank. Was responsible for closing fundraising accounts associated with the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, and intervening to halt an international criminal court investigation into Israel's 2010 assault on Mavi Marmara. Now, of course, we're going to trust the same group that's obviously has a very clear one-sided perspective to rule in regard to international affairs, because that makes sense. Not rule, but continue to push policy in this direction with their petitions, seeing how clearly, really take a moment and stand back and recognize how absurd it is that a U.S. court would hear that ridiculous case and not only rule in favor of the Israelis over the Iran and Syrian countries, but do so based on absolutely nothing other than the fact that a person got killed and this man has a flimsy tie to Hamas. There you go. And this is our judicial system, ladies and gentlemen, in this country, if you're an American. Now, moving on to the final story of the day. Something that I couldn't believe that this is still happening, to be honest. This coming from Reuters, where I saw it first. Trump administration plans to divert $40 million in aid to Venezuelan opposition. Venezuela's opposition. $40 million in aid to a group that is basically non-existent today. Ask yourself, obviously, the first question, where's that $40 million come from? Oh, that's right, your pocket. You pay for that. Are you okay with giving $40 million to a clearly illegitimate group that's very violent and part of some of the worst things that's been happening in Venezuela today? I'm not. Personally, I'm not okay with $40 million going anywhere outside this country until we fix the problems we currently have here. Oh, that's right, the actual America First, which we're not doing. Now, the Trump administration has informed Congress that they intend to divert $40 million in humanitarian aid that's right now intended for South America and give it to Venezuelans' opposition instead. Now, the $41.9 million had been destined for Guatemala and Honduras, two of the three Central American countries at the center of the migration crisis, in which thousands of people have fled poverty, violence, and corruption created by years and years of U.S.-backed regime change and manipulation of their internal affairs for the benefit of the U.S. elite. You know, democracy, liberty, freedom, right? Same thing. Now, U.S. aid argues that the funding of Guaido is, in quote, the U.S. national interest. The U.S. national interest. Well, that is a stretch. See, they used to say, well, it's in our national interest. Excuse me. They basically try to make it seem like it's in the interest of the country. But when you're saying it's national interest, this is saying that right now this matters to Americans. It's not a foreign policy issue. This is not about securing resources and rare earth minerals around the world. This is saying that this right now matters to you as an American, that funding Guaido in Venezuela is what's most important to the Americans right now that want to know where their tax dollars are going. I would be shocked to find out more than 2% of this country, that's just a random number that I'm guessing, would actually stand up and say, yes, I agree with that. I'm okay with that. That is in the U.S. national interest. But the reality is it's not in any way, shape, or form. Nothing about this move benefits Americans in any way at all. Unless you agree that, Russia, China, bad guy, and we have to stop them because they're bad guys and we're good guys. Well, that's the only thing that makes sense. We can't allow them to do good things that aren't illegal in that country because that hurts us because we want to do those things. It's like we're a bunch of six-year-olds running around fighting for a ball. It's ridiculous. Nobody's inherently good or inherently evil. That's the ridiculous propaganda. Neither the U.S. government is inherently good or evil, or neither is the Israeli government inherently good. Excuse me. Inherently good or evil. They choose to take evil actions. They choose to take selfish, malicious, sinister moves. They do that. They could also then tomorrow choose to do something good. We need to get past this ridiculous good guy, bad guy, they basically just lay this ridiculous blanket over everything. And I use this and make fun of it and disparage it because of how ridiculous it is. That's why I say that. Iran bad guy, because it's that stupid. And there's no real justification for it. They want you to sit back when you hear a story, when you hear someone like me telling you, here's what's really happening. They want you to sit back and go, oh, well, Iran bad guy. So I'm not going to listen to this guy because of Iran bad guy. That's what they want you to do. That's why I continue to say it, because it's that stupid. Now, U.S. aid, at face value, is a humanitarian body. Or at least that's what that face value is. They want you to think. But in reality, it's regularly used to subsidize covert illegal actions around the world. This regime change conduit called U.S. aid, or you could, stand it in for the National Endowment for Democracy or any number of these obvious regime change mechanisms. The U.S. aid informed Congress that the $40 million plus will be used to, guess what, pay for salaries and other expenses for the Guaido government budget. Yeah, that government that doesn't exist. They went on to say, travel, communications equipment, technical assistance, get this, even training for the management of said government budget. So now not only are we helping them set it up, but now we're paying out of our tax dollars to train these inept people how to actually manage a government budget. That's what they're telling you is in your American national interest, to pay for these inept regime change thugs to learn how to run a government, because they're not actually government. You see, they don't actually know what they're doing. So we have to pay for them for travel, communications equipment, technical assistance, and training them how to actually learn how to manage a budget. And of course, it goes on to say other needs for the Venezuelan opposition. So just whatever they may need, especially knowing that we proved that Guaido's, little lackeys were going out and buying expensive dinners and jewelry and hotel rooms and embezzling all the money that we're supposedly sending in for, arms and weapons as Bolton would say, aid for struggling people. But in fact, they went out and spent it on themselves. So now we're supposed to continue to give them more money for them to go out and not use it for anything that actually helps the Venezuelan or American people? The answer is yes. They want you to say yes. They want you to say good. Because government says this is the good thing to do, so I have to believe it. Otherwise, I'm anti-American. All of this for a non-existent government. How absurd is that? Like, really recognize that they don't exist today. They have basically no support in Venezuela. Their support has dwindled to nothing in this country. They've never had massive support from the rest of the world. And since then, the people that were following him have been getting locked up, left, running away. He doesn't have a government. And yet they want you to spend your money for these people. Yet Flint, Michigan doesn't even have clean water. $40 million, and they still have problems with their water. Well, most of the U.S., in fact, has problems with their water. Flint is just the one people know about. And still, even though we know about Flint, they still haven't fixed it. And yet, here's $40 million. Sure, for a failed coup, for a government that doesn't exist. We'll even train you how to balance a budget that's not there. You know, this is the classic. Here's $10,000 on a toilet seat. Same thing. Let's just make it work. Meanwhile, there's probably a lot of other illicit behind-the-scenes things that's actually going to happen with that $40 million. You know, just the next 10 years of constant destabilization for the government. So they can point and say, oh, we told you Venezuela's bad. Even though they've been doing that the same before and they're going to continue to do it after. Just like they're doing in Syria. It's vindictive. Maintaining a long-term destabilization campaign. Because you lost the war. That's like the definition of vindictive. The U.S. government sends far more, actually, than $38 billion a year to Israel, while they're actively and recognizably committing all kinds of war crimes, as was introduced to the United Nations, illegally occupying the Golan Heights, doing all kinds of illegal things, ignoring resolutions and treaties, $38 billion a year, and we can't even give our kids in this country school books that are, you know, after 1980. The U.S. government spends over $1 trillion a year to maintain its eternal wars around the world, even while pretending it does not want war, while the average American cannot afford a $500 emergency. And most certainly cannot afford to get sick, injured, or hospitalized. Thus, you want to be in debt for the rest of your life, like most people are anyway. But we're number one, right? If you disagree, you're un-American, and you should go back to whatever country your family first immigrated from. From this nation of immigrants, I might add. So many issues at home in this country. And at every turn, we are putting the needs of everyday Americans second to any number of things. And with an administration and its following that continue to scream about America first, I'm beginning to wonder if we simply have different understandings of what that phrase actually means. Thank you for tuning in for this quick show. Apologize for the camera and whatever issues I might have had during the show. I will see you tomorrow for the next episode of the Daily Wrap-Up, bringing you all the most important information. But tune in after hours live in about a half hour, maybe less than that, where we can go live and continue talking about all of this stuff. I do this show with Brian every Wednesday, Thursday. So jump over, tune in. I'll put the link in the show notes when I get done. I love you all. Thank you for being here. Please spread the information. Wake people up. Never been more important. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.